for Kenny purposes, like Barsha has changed on there. I believe he would have probably ended that on there. He had a few opportunities where he would have probably just sent it, broke a leg or whatnot, but he's a different man. I try not to crash. I didn't even crash last weekend. And then, like, I might have well crashed. I almost got jumped on and all these different things. I stalled the motorcycle, and I still got beat. Not even crash. Proud of you, son. You ain't my son, but we could be sons. And you're going to be black. You keep winning these things, but whatever. Good chocolate bar. Pretty good bar. What's up, guys? You know who it is, your boy JS7. And you know where we're at. We're at the Rewind Show. I think it's round nine or something like that. Indianapolis. Where we have the German chocolate dude is staying this weekend. So, look, I'm hungry. I just felt like chocolate right now. So, just give me a second. We'll be right back. But Indianapolis, it looked like a hair comb. Track was tough. Track was nasty on there. Reminded me of Toronto back in 2009, back in the day. Anyways, it was a great weekend of racing. A lot of stuff that went on. A lot of things that's been going on all year. We saw that happen. We saw Cooper Webb do what he does. Eli did the ET on me and Chase, you know, he did what he did on there. But round nine, Indianapolis, let's get into it, people. So Indianapolis, it's been notorious, always kind of been notorious as being really rutted. And it's one of those tracks that are super rutted, but it also gets hard packed. To where, like, it was one of the tracks that I hated the worst because if I had stiff suspension, it's like the track was super soft and it got all these ruts in there, but it got rough, but the ruts never really get, like, they didn't give. So it was really easy to kind of get cross rutted. And for some reason, I never gelled well on those type of tracks. Even the track that I'm talking about in Toronto was in Seattle, they were way more rutted, but they wasn't hard. So when you would get into it, they were kind of give. And so this weekend, one of the things that kind of you'll hear the riders talk about is tires. And they'll switch from a 120 rear tire to a 110. And basically what that does, it just makes the tires skinnier so they get in the ruts. And here when the track is super rutted, the last thing you want to do is get cross rutted because it's hard. So the rut doesn't give, but it also, like, it's sticky too. So you almost like would stop. So you saw these guys jumping front and high, making a lot of mistakes. And this particular race, it's almost like you take the best guys in the world on a supercross track and you're watching them look like they haven't ridden in like 3 weeks, where they're making a lot of mistakes. They're jumping front and high. They look like your boy right now. If he went out and rode, just off. I do believe, like, the way the track was set up, it was a great opportunity for guys like Ken Roczen. The dude's talented. Like I always said, he can ride a tricycle on there, and the guy's super talented. Even like Chase Sexton, guys that can be real skilled. Kevin Windham was good on these type of tracks. Justin Barsha rode great. Guys that can ride ruts real good, but also just be technical riders would do well on this. And I think that's why you saw the German chocolate find his form this weekend. The whoops are so bad. It didn't matter what kind of bike you had. Suspension would help, but they were so torn up. It was by how comfortable you felt in ruts. So overall, the tracks lended itself for it was going to be a super difficult track. The most technical guy that was probably going to win or have a chance to win, or a guy like Cooper Webb, a guy that finds lines and that's just gritty and it just grinds this thing out. So there was a lot of those things. So you saw the best of the most technical, the most grittiest, and you had Bam Bam up there trying to do his thing, which looked good all day long. So overall, I thought the track was great. It was fun. I'm glad I was on the couch watching that thing. But it set itself up for some interesting racing and interesting results. So I thought it was great. This weekend, we had Adam Cincirella back. And I don't know if he was re-motivated from last time he was out on track. He was getting knocked down by Barsha or whatnot. And I said with him, his biggest thing was it was time. You know, you get laps in, he would get better. So when he got hurt, it was just like, oh, man, here we go again. But AC, I'm talking directly to you, brother. You look good. Best I've seen you ride ever on a 450. So that's just props to you on there, the commitment. Like, this is the guy that I knew the results and just him being out there trying to get out of the way. Don't want to get knocked down. Don't want to get hurt. Just get these laps in. This is a guy that I knew was going to show up on there. Like, and you look racy this weekend. You look comfortable. And no matter what, this track, a lot of people got tired. A lot of people had some hard times on there. So just the way you looked in the beginning, it was good to see. And also think, just like this track, you could get a bad start and slowly make your way up, which is what Justin Barsha did. Like some tracks like Houston, where if you get a bad start, the guys are going so fast, the track not breaking down and slowing down allows you to, like, it's way harder to all of a sudden just make that time up. Where here, I mean, a guy can lose 2 seconds in one lap, messing up the whoops or whatnot. So you could be patient on this and get around guys. And that's why you saw Justin start in seventh and come up. And if Eli was feeling good, I believe like Eli last year, his bike set up, I believe he would have came up through the pack because he was actually riding good in the beginning part. But when he saw Chase on the ground, I think that changed his attitude a little bit. And you could see it, like he was in 46s, then went to 48. And maybe that was a mistake. Then he went back to 46. But I could see it was a different riding style to him. But he was off all day, and it's back to what I was saying with him on Daytona. And before I even get into that, we'll touch on that in a second. But overall, there was a lot of room and as many laps as these guys are going to do, and as difficult as this track was going to be, it was really easy to kind of make up time. So if you got a bad start, like, you know, 7th, 10th, or whatnot, you could actually come up and do what Justin have if you felt comfortable enough. And as the race went on, guys would make mistakes. When they make mistakes, you can jump on them, pass them. So you can make up time, but it was one of those tracks that you would believe, like, okay, how quickly you caught that guy, you would just go past them. And that part was difficult. So it was easy to make up time, but it was hard to pass. And I'll explain that. And that's what you kind of saw when Barsha got up to Kenny. If Kenny just kind of hit his lines and stuff, he could make that time up, but he couldn't, like, really pass him. Like, he kind of just stayed there the whole time. And the reason why it was hard to pass is because when you pass a guy, if the guy doesn't make a mistake, you have to pass him. You have to be faster. You have to, like, blitz the section. And with a track being so rutted, the faster you went, the slower you were actually going to end up going, the more likelihood you're going to make a mistake. So making up time on somebody was pretty easy in a sense, because you had an open track. You can stay in those lines. If a guy made a mistake, you can close down on him. But passing him was difficult because they had so many ruts. And that's what you saw with Barsha. And that's why as much time as he caught, made up on Kenny, when he actually did close in, he actually just stayed there the whole time. And it was perfect for Kenny because he knew all he had to do was basically do the jumps and do all that. And when Barsha tried to go bam, bam, and try to make his way around and go faster, he couldn't do that. So it was a lot of things going on with the racetrack. And as simple as the racetrack was, as far as just the jumps and stuff, it was probably the most difficult track of the year. I guarantee it was way harder for these guys in Daytona, made Daytona look like a free practice in a sense. And just like last weekend, I said that when the track slowing down kind of helped Eli, this was kind of that same scenario with Ken. The track slowing down allowed him to use what he does best and be technical and, you know, be able to race these guys. So it was good. I thought Barsha was the fastest. I thought he looked the best out of everybody. I thought he was even faster than Kenny. But to give Kenny props, the guy does what he does best. He's one of the best I've ever seen out front leading races and managing races. You know, usually when he's feeling pretty well, he'll have a race like this. And it was funny because I know all of us was thinking when that white flag came out and Barsha got super close to Kenny, and all the times that Kenny had leads with two laps or last lap and he's gotten passed by Webb or whatever, we're like, oh, no, dude, here we go. Kickstart Kenny, the German chocolate. He's going to lead this whole thing. But dude wrote, he held his own. And luckily for Kenny purposes, like, Barsha has changed on there. I believe he would have probably ended that on there. He had a few opportunities where he would have probably just sent it, broke a leg or whatnot, but he's a different man. So he held on, and you could tell there was a weight lifted off Kenny's shoulder. And, you know, when we talk about Kenny, we never doubt his talent, right? We never doubt his talent. And even though he's been struggling, they've been struggling with the bike, like, they've gotten better. And, you know, he's been showing more speed in the beginning part of races, or I guess in heat races and stuff. Like, he looked good in heat race. He's looked good in heat race for a while. But when you're going fast and you're blitzing whoops and the track breaks down and you have to rely on suspension, I still feel like he's a little off on there. But a track like this, his talent can outride those parts, since it's a little bit slower and it's more of a technical thing. So to be where he's in a position, all that weight on his shoulders, to be able to get it, I'm super stoked on it. And I do believe this win for Kenny is different than any win that he's had in the last couple of years. Like, I feel like he, not to say he didn't deserve those wins or he didn't earn those, this one was a mental battle for Kenny more than, I would say, even a physical one. Like, previous races, he won Anaheim 1. Chase was fast. The Chase crashed. He ends up winning it. And then outdoors, Chase crashed. He gets in there. He overhauls the podium. But this one, he took control. Maybe not the fastest, but he managed the race. And he looked like the Kenny Roczen of old. When he got out there, like, he knew how to manage this thing and win. And even though Barsha was coming, I think years past, like, you would think a guy who's been through all these struggles would maybe crack. Well, he didn't do that. And so just props to him. And you could tell the whole, you know, all the riders, they were stoked on it. And then, you know, we're stoked here at Bubba's World. So, Kenny, you definitely deserve this one. And it ain't early enough to get your neck burned. But overall, that German chocolate was hot. So one of the places that you were able to make up time was the whoops. And you had guys trying to, like, blitz them. And blitzing was definitely the fastest way to go through it. And I believe, like, Eli got past there. I mean, dude, he was like rolling the whoops at one point in the heat race, and Cooper was jumping, and I think Kenny was jumping. He was going through that main line, but Barsha actually started squaring that corner up and going down the far inside of those whoops, and he kept blitzing them, and that's where he was making up a lot of time on Kenny. So when I go back to the whole bike setup, you can ride around that on this track because it was so slow. I believe one of the reasons why Kenny wasn't blitzing his whoops because he hasn't sorted that problem out with the bike as far as the setup yet, where I've been telling you the last few weeks, I think Barsha's setup's been way better on there. One of the best looking out of all, not just to Kenny's, but overall. And I think that's why Barsha felt more comfortable blitzing the whoops, and pretty much anybody that was jumping through the whoops, like, they didn't feel comfortable having it set up to where they were super stiff, they were super cuffed out, and there was a chance that you could fall in those ruts. And if you fell in the ruts, you're gonna have swap. Where I felt like Barsha, his way his bike is, it's real double D effect. It kind of gives a lot. So he felt comfortable on that. So he was one of the only persons doing that, where Kenny was actually jumping through the whoops, and where Kenny's talent would help him to where he wouldn't lose that much time compared to, like, Cooper Webb, was that he's super talented on there. And so once he actually figured out a line where he can go triple, 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 he can actually make that time up and not lose a lot of heap of time. But his bike setup and maybe struggling on other tracks, where this track, his technique and being super technical will allow him to get away with it. The rest of the track was good enough, is why he was jumping through the whoops and why Barsha was, like, skimming. So, again, if you went back to a track that was faster and it broke down, but it was still quick, like an Oakland track, then I think Kenny would have had a harder time maybe possibly holding the thing off. But since the track was super slow, rutted, and it was technical everywhere, that whoop section, Kenny was good enough to make it through. And Barsha, where his bike was better than Kenny's, that was pretty much the only place that he was faster than Kenny visually. The rest of it was just, you know, tug of war. So it was good. It was good to see. Now, going back to Cooper Webb was struggling through the whoops. But as Cooper Webb does, he just gets better and he starts figuring out at the end of the race and he got quicker through there. But on the big three, him, Chase, and Eli, you could tell things changed drastically, especially for Eli Tomac, like when Chase crashed. Now, Eli was, he was struggling all day long, kind of like last weekend at Daytona. He's just a little off. But this weekend was more like that third moto in Dallas. From what I was looking at him, it was like that. And I think people get a little confused when I say, okay, Eli's struggling on there, and like almost like I'm saying, okay, he's struggling, that he's not fast, he's not going to win. Like, oh, I'm surprised that he won Daytona. No, I think with Eli, I when you go back to what he did in Houston to Chase, being that much slower and all the races that maybe he wasn't the quickest, but he was able to like win still. Cause you, how does this work? A guy out of 9 races, he's won 5 of them. And up until this weekend, he had the points lead. How can you say the guy's struggling? Well, these are the differences when you compare Eli last year to this year. I feel like his bike setup is, he's not as comfortable on certain tracks, all the tracks, compared to last year. I thought one of his best races was here, here in Detroit. I thought he looked really good. But just the way he looked all year long, like I never saw a difference. Like maybe his bike worked better at a certain track, but it never was like too big of a gap. Like where this year, when I'm sitting here and I'm like, okay, he's struggling at Daytona, like on there. And the fact that he goes on win it is because of what happened in Houston and all his past history allows him, when the lights come on, he can step up and just believe, when I'm still the champ. So it's not surprising that he wins. But when I say he's struggling, and if you listen to Eli's interview, he says he's struggling. He lost the confidence. But look, you get him out in race, Daytona lights, whatever, he happens. And I believe if it was last year, I didn't see those differences or those kind of, I wouldn't say weaknesses, but I didn't see those fluctuations where I'm like, dude, this guy rode around and got like 8th on there. I mean, he had a mistake, but he was making his way up. Chase crashed. Okay, he settles down. Like, okay, maybe he'll end up like 4th, whatnot. Last year, Eli, he would have probably got back up the podium or at least been worse, like 4th, maybe 5th place. This year, he gets up there, Chase crashes, he slows down. And since he's not comfortable, he knew like, okay, I believe Chase is out on there. Cooper's up there, what Cooper does. And then he actually starts going backwards. So this is the difference between Eli last year and this year, where you can noticeably tell his bike setup's out. Now, I don't know what happens to where like you have like the Arlington where he kind of disappears like the old Eli. Like, is he to the point to where his bike, he's struggling that much to where he's like afraid and he just shuts it down like on there, like he doesn't want to get hurt, or is he having mental things? I don't know, but I do know he's definitely a lot more vulnerable this year than he has last, even though he's won 5 out of 9 of these things. And that's why it's like when you start talking, people maybe don't understand, like, well, how can you pick against this guy? And he's got all this stuff and he's won all these races. This is why. So you can just listen to Eli, shut it down. When Chase went down, all right, daddy, whatever, I'm chilling. I'll hold on to this points lead. Cooper probably ain't going to win. Barsha is good. And then he's got passed by Christian Craig. Chase finishes one position behind him, which if I'm Chase, I'm like stoked, but I'm also confused. Maybe on the fourth, confused list, who knows on that. And then you heard Cooper Webb saying, I rode tight. And I just think Chase falling kind of set that thing up, and his track was easy to fall on. And so if you're a little uncomfortable, you're going to shut it down. But the difference between Cooper and Eli, I think Cooper is like that grittiness, just kind of being the same, that dog and like whatever, like he doesn't fluctuate like those guys. And so when I said before last weekend at Daytona, if I'm Eli Tomac, if I lose Daytona, I won't chase Sexton to win, because I believe every single weekend, this is what you're going to get from Cooper on there. He might get a fourth on there, but he most likely ain't going to get like 10th on there or have these incidents with Chase. So the likelihood of the fluctuating is going to be more on Chase and all that. So I don't know. I think this season is still open with these three, but if you have to look, I mean, who would you pick on there? It's not me jumping on the web wagon or bashing on Eli or bashing on Chase, but I see a weakness with Eli. He says it's a weakness. With Cooper, it's like life a box of chocolates. I just know what I'm getting. I know what I'm getting right there. And I know he's going to be here week in and week out. And then I get Chase. I know I get lightning in the bottle. He can dominate these things. But he's been 7 out of 9 fastest in qualifying. He's been pretty much the fastest guy in every main event. And he's won one. And the one he won was in a Triple Crown, which he fell in that one as well. So he's having his issues as well. And then so it's, he just look at Cooper. And you saw that smile. You saw that smile on that face. That you saw that. And so, again, Eli can come next week and blow their ass out. Not surprising. Chase go out there and blow their ass out. Not surprising. But what would be surprising if Cooper is not somewhere around the front of the post? That would be surprising. So I think as us fans, we into it. And I do believe Barcia, he's riding well. I thought Aaron Plessinger, I thought maybe this was the weekend he was going to show up and give me that win, because I claimed he said he was going to win. I don't know where Coke 45 is. He's making me look bad ever since I said he was going to be on the podium. I don't know why I went to that, but I went to it. So I think he's going to be good. Now with Roczen, confidence breeds a lot of different things. It can fix a lot of different things. I don't know if it can fix all those things, problems, but I do believe we'll have a fired up melting chocolate. But if he goes around and he struggles next weekend, at least he got one of them. I don't know. So if we really want to get technical on Chase's crash, and I'm not saying this is what happened to him, but it kind of looks like it's what happened. It looks like Chase, when he gets in those whoops, he's going a little faster than he wants to in those whoops. So that means he's coming in that corner. And there's like a little knoll or something, a bump or whatever in there. Looks like he wants to go to the inside where Roczen wants to go, right? And so like he's trying to turn in there, but he realizes he's going too fast. So he goes back to the outside rut. Now, with these type of ruts, you have to almost, as deep as they are, you have to get into them and almost kind of stand up in there. Like you don't want to be just like leaned into there. And so if he would have done what exactly what he did on there, the way his lean angle, he would have done that to the inside rut, he would have been fine. But since he gets in there hot, he tries to go for the inside. He ain't making that. But his angle that puts him, since he tries to go for an inside, the angle that it puts him when he ends up going to that middle rut, it's almost like it puts him in there steep. So he's going in there straight. Now he can't lean it because now it's really deep. He can't stand it up. And so he just kind of leans over there and he continues going off. For him, I guess the best thing to do would be shut off. Like don't even try to jump that, because you know like that's kind of what's going to happen. And I believe these are mistakes that will keep him up at night, because he most likely, like if you're trying to shoot for one, okay, I can't lean this thing in there. Now I'm really leaned over. I'm still going to try to jump it. I wouldn't do that. And I believe that's why he ends up just flipping on there. Like the crash was bad. Some people, when they like, you know, get those crashes, like they kind of get back and they try to save it. Or with Chase, it was like he was shocked that it got that bad on there. And I do believe technically, if you're looking and reading into this thing too deep, he looks like he tries to get to that inside rut. He's going in too hot. And so the angle that he was going, if he was choosing that middle rut, he wouldn't have took the angle that he ended up going in there, which puts him in steep, which puts him in leaned over instead of rolling. He ain't losing that time to Kenny. German chocolate is on fire. He jumps it anyway and drags foot pegs. He ends up eating boo-boo. And but I think that was all set up for whatever happened in those whoops for him to get in that thing hot. But I don't believe that line was what he was trying to go to. And that's why that thing calls them out. To just round off the big three, on there. And I believe with Roczen winning, Barcia coming up, I still believe Aaron's going to have his races. And we're halfway, I guess a little over halfway at this point. I believe you're going to start having guys that's just coming in there trying to win races. And I believe from like fourth, they're pretty tight. Everybody's kind of tight right there. So there's a lot of positions to like fight for. And so I think Barcia will get one. Aaron might still get one. Kenny might get another one if you get another track like this. And just with Kenny, it's not surprising that he's won here. He's won here before. And when that year they had COVID, they had like three rounds here. He actually won all three of them. And when it gets tight, slow, technical, rutted, Kenny Roczen is a bad mofo and he gets it done. And so with the big three, I don't know if it really changes anything, to be honest with you. I think Cooper is happy that he's got the red plate. He didn't ride well, but he beat everyone else. So I guess if I'm him, I'm like, you know what? Like, I feel like I see weaknesses in those guys, but, you know, so maybe I can just outlast them or whatnot. But I think with Eli, he has these moments, these ET moments. And so I guess I'm a little concerned, maybe on the bike side, but the fact is he's not getting beat by speed with Cooper. So I do believe, just like last weekend, he had an off weekend, but he was able to ride fast enough and be good enough to still outrun Cooper. And I believe this weekend, if Cooper to went out and just dominated these guys, then I think the tie would have changed. Eli would have been more afraid. But I think Eli is probably, look, I'm more concerned about getting my bike to where I can be comfortable, and I don't have like, I can be comfortable enough to at least get third instead of being comfortable like where I'm like fifth. And if these guys start like Roczen and they start getting confidence, Adam's starting to ride like he is, that fifth place is going to be hard and it becomes like a seventh. That's the concern if I'm Eli. So I think Eli's still focused on the bike, and he believes if he gets that right, he'll outrun these guys. And even if he can't outrun Chase, he believes that he can stay up with Chase. And Chase still hasn't figured that part out. So Eli, I think he hasn't changed. He's focused on the bike. Cooper, he hasn't found that speed. So although he's confident, I don't think he's that confident that if all circumstances were great, he can outrun those two. And if I'm Chase Sexton, I'm like, I don't even know. Like, there's so many ways that I try not to crash. I didn't even crash last weekend. And then, like, I might as well crash. I almost got jumped on and all these different things. I stalled the motorcycle, and I still got beat. Not even crash. So when I ride, I try not to crash. I go slower, and I still make mistakes. When I ride freely, I end up making mistakes. And even this weekend, like, I didn't do anything, like, crazy, and I still crash. And I don't know. So with Chase, he's still got the same issues mentally that he had before this weekend. Eli's probably got the same thing before this weekend. Don't kid yourself, people. Don't kid yourself. Go back to since he's been on Yamaha. He ain't never had one of these performances. He ain't have an Arlington. He even have a practice like that. So he knows it. He said it. He was uncomfortable. He wasn't confident. But when the race came, he won last weekend anyway. So he didn't have that last year. So I guess with these three guys, I don't think anything's changed for him. Chase still uncomfortable. Eli still uncomfortable. And Cooper's still just Cooper. Yeah. So the big three is the big three. We can go next weekend and same thing or something different can happen. I don't see any one of those guys that sees control on this title. It's up in the air. I would say it's more like Eli and Cooper rather than Eli and Chase. I would say that because there's some demons in Chase's head, but still, wouldn't be surprised Chase Sexton's your champion at the end of the year, because as many crashes as he had, he's only 13 points down and nobody's dominant. Eli's has weaknesses. Cooper has weaknesses. So if I'm Chase Sexton, if I figure it out, I'm faster and I can run off a string of races, and it wouldn't take me that long to get the points lead the way things are working. So one of the topics is about, okay, if this track is super technical and it's rutted and not technical on big jumps, triples, quads and all that, big whoop section, but technical with ruts. So you have Kenny Roczen, one of the most technical guys in there, and then you got Cooper Webb, probably maybe not the most technical, but the grittiest. And then you got Justin Barsha, like, revving a bike up, kind of all over the place. So when I say the most technical guys win, it favors their type, you would be like, well, those three are all, they ride completely different, and they all got different styles. And so I believe with this, it's with Kenny, self-explanatory. Like, the dude rides ruts. He's super technical. He's a Kevin Windham. When it rained, Kevin Windham was great. Certain guys, when it rains, it's that being slow, precise. And since it's not a speed thing, it's more about a consistency thing and choosing lines. Guys that can see the track really well and get creative with lines, like hopping over little things, using these bumps, and Kenny's really good at that. If you watch him outdoors, Chase is good at that too. They'll hop around the racetrack. That's what I mean, technical. And so when you get ruts, you can hop around and choose. And one thing that's really important on a rutted track is vision. You wouldn't believe how much these guys are looking from lap to lap on vision. Dark spot, you don't want to be at a dark spot. You see a triple, you look at the lines, you want to avoid the darkest one on there, because usually there's a hole in that thing and you have to commit. You don't want to end up like Chase. That can happen pretty quickly. So when I look at Roczen, he's super light on the bike. He can hop around the racetrack. So to me, it opens up the whole racetrack to him, to where if you looked at Kenny, he was all over the place. Like, he was over here, he was over there. And that's what I mean by technical, like figuring his way around that racetrack. And that's what he did. Bam, bam. His bike was really good, right? Like, his bike setup, he was able to blitz the whoops. He charges on there. He's like a Jeremy Martin, maybe not like his gnarly as that, but Jeremy Martin, where he pound, like, he's just like, dude, I'm just going for it. That rider can ride well on these tracks. But that's also why when I say you can make up time on somebody, Barsha was able to make up time. But since when you get close and you have to pick a line, if Kenny's not making a mistake, you have to be technical on how to find speed somewhere on a track that you can override really quickly. You have to be technical on seeing the lines and be able to predict the way to, like, pass somebody. You have to set them up, because with ruts, you can't just cross back and forth on there. You have to choose your way around the racetrack. That's why I believe Barsha caught Kenny and then couldn't catch him. Like, I know that sounds like an oxymoron, but it makes sense. He caught him, but he wasn't technical enough to pick around the racetrack to make that pass on him. And so with him, his style would allow him to charge through the things. His bike was good enough to charge through the things. And that's why he was good. And that's why you look at Jeremy Martin. Jeremy Martin rode good this weekend. Jeremy Martin's another one on there. He just bulldogs. It's like an outdoor track. Like, I'm just going to pound my way through these whoops. I'm just going to man dog it. Like, through there, not the most technical rider, but fear can override some of this technical stuff on there. And if you ain't scared to go fast, and you ain't scared to be out of control, you ain't scared to have the bike swapping and doing all these things, which Justin Barsha is not afraid to have a bike side to side, then Jeremy Martin, same way, then you're cool. So that's why I'd say guys that ride like Barsha or even Jeremy Martin, that's comfortable being uncomfortable, is why they're good as well. Kenny's comfortable being really comfortable. Track lets itself pick his way, and it's probably fun to him. And Cooper Webb is great at picking lines, and he's in shape. And Cooper Webb, like, when the track breaks down, what happens? He gets better. A lot of races this year, he closes down on these guys at the end of the race. So that's why this track favors him as well. Not because he's going to be the fastest, but because when it breaks down, he's going to be able to figure out the way to pick the best lines, the most smoothest lines, and he feels like he's the strongest, which allows him to stay in the race. So Kenny Roczen, technical, picking his way through the racetrack. Justin Barsha is not afraid to have a bike uncomfortable. He's not afraid to be uncomfortable. He's probably comfortable being that way. And Cooper Webb is the strongest in his mind. And when the track breaks down, he's good. There's your top three. Yeah, I do believe not only has Justin decided to not wreak havoc on the field, and I would say it's because it's, you know, you get older, you get kids, and you're just like, I'm going to be more of a role model. I think it was really after he got booed out the stadium last year that probably shook him. And I think that Ferrandis thing in outdoors, I think when you have two incidents like that, and then you go back and you look like, damn, that guy really didn't do, like, it wasn't as bad as it was. How I reacted was way worse than what the intention was. And I think it's much flack. And it started becoming where the team, I think he started getting inner pressure on the team. Like, look, we cannot have this. And it's not transition into wins. You know, you're doing all this stuff, creating all this habit and just messing up other people's stuff. I think that's probably changed him. Now, to say if he would have been this way earlier in his career, would he have been better? I don't know, because I think the reason why some of his success has come is because he is that way on there. I do believe maybe he would have not knocked down so many people, or he would maybe have more, I guess, more in a title threat in a sense, because he wouldn't have been in those incidents and having that hate. And every time you knock somebody down, you got to be worried about them like getting back at you. So I don't see how you can rob for it when you always think, like, for instance, like this weekend at Hunter Lawrence, like you could tell when Nate was close to him, he was riding backwards. Like his lines, he start chopping it down. Luckily, he was good enough that he can get a gap and he can open it back up. But if you had to ride that way because you knocked down half the field, then I don't know how you can ride to your potential. And since Barsha has kind of changed a little bit, I think he's able to ride like in race, kind of like if he was riding on track by himself, which allows him to bring out the most talented, and his bike's gotten better. So I think that's why he's going faster and better this year. But I do believe like what makes Barsha, he had to be that way. And that's just his attitude. So I wouldn't say if he would have changed that he might have won more races of the championships, because I don't know if he would have been as good as he is if he didn't have that attitude. So it's kind of hard to say. So the narrative is the way Eli rides, and because of people look at results. And at the end of the day, that's what really matters. Doesn't matter how it looks, it's results. So up until last weekend, he 5 out of 8 races. So everything that we're saying doesn't make sense, because it's easy to say, well, he don't care about practice and he don't care. He just gets to the main event and he's going to show up and go faster. But when you dive in deeper with Eli, and the reason why I was saying it's different, even if he's won the races, you can see in his face that Daytona race, like he knew he had to win because of, like, I guess how he's feeling like during the week. He sees that, look, I'm struggling on this bike and I need it to win this. Cause if I let those guys beat me at this race, it's really going to be like, it just stamps the fact that I'm off. Cause I don't lose Daytona, that my bike problems are real on there. And so I feel like ever since Tampa, he had that night. And I believe if he had those type of nights, then it would be, okay, he's just going to rest up. He's going to be cool. But I believe when watching Eli and why he's having these moments, not only because of his bike, but it's one guy. I think it's because of Cooper Webb is making him have these sort of issues, to where if he's off on there and he gets like a third or plus, the likelihood of Chase just running away from this thing is not likely. The likelihood of Cooper just being third like he did this weekend puts more pressure on Eli to make Eli decide, all right, I'm gonna have to like ride harder than I want, because his eighth place ain't good enough on that, because this guy's always gonna be in the top 5. So I think he's riding against, in my era, with Chad Reed, a guy that, look, you can win all these races but have one off night, and then like that guy's gonna get second or he's gonna win that race. So it puts way more pressure on you than you'd be like, look, I can have an off night, but likelihood of this guy running away or continue to run away, it's not going to be good. Like, he's going to have a mistake like he did last night. So I think that's why Eli, when you watch him ride, it's like he's trying, but then he goes fast. It's uncomfortable. And I think for him to be comfortable puts him in the back position, back in eighth or whatnot. And I think you're seeing it on his face that he has Cooper Webb, and Webb is not going to really relinquish that lead. And he also knows that Webb bleeds on that confidence. Webb eats off that, to where I don't think Chase does that. I think Chase is still on his trying to find his own thing. So I think when you look at a mindset with Eli, That's what's going on. And that's why he's won 5 out of 9 races. And you look on his face and he still doesn't see a dominant guy. So all the people that think he's waiting, I'm going to just tell you, you're wrong on that. The dude ain't, he ain't doing that. Because if you listen to him in his interview and then you have nights like this, if a guy was waiting, he would not wait to have a night like this on there. And he wouldn't tell you that, nah, they had me, bro, they had me. Dude ain't playing games. The guy looks like that. You don't roll through whoops and get passed by all these cats if you're like waiting. He had an opportunity to knock Chase out this championship right now this weekend. Last year, he would have done that. This year, he can't do it unless he wants to risk it. And he ain't trying to risk little Johnny in his factory. So, but you know where it's at, people. And I think this is a different one. I came on this show. I was hungry. And I don't know what it was. I just felt like I wanted chocolate. And I don't know if it's because I saw the German chocolate do his thing this weekend and how he did his thing. Like I would say it came out of middle nowhere. And even though he's been fast in practice in Daytona, I think the tracks and certain things, and even in his face, you just knew, like, I don't think he really believed. But when he showed up at Indianapolis, and last time I was up there dancing in the club over there, I got hit by a beer bottle. Don't ask me the story, people. It happened. I don't know why it happened, but it happened. And I love Indy. The fans are great. And I know who else loves Kenny. The German chocolate, he loves Indy because every time he goes there, he does win. He just wins. So he gets up there, and I'm hungry. And I'm like, damn, Kenny Roczen, fast in the heat race. He's been fast in the heat race. Track's breaking down. Kenny Roczen's out front. Kenny Roczen ain't going nowhere. Kenny Roczen's talented. Bam Bam's coming up. Kenny Roczen's still there. And you know why he's there? Because the German chocolate is back. I said in outdoors, people, I said, give the people what they want. I'm tired of this. I wanted to Instagram Kenny. I know we still don't got that guy. I said he needed to knock a bitch out. He hasn't knocked a bitch out. But what he did do was solidify a win. And what he did do is going to get, what he's going to get for a goal?
Suntan, next on fire.
German chocolate on fire, melting. I don't know if he's bleeding on breaks or whatnot. He got me eating chocolate. Kenny Roczen, two-stroke Kenny. Kickstart Kenny, whatever. All I know, it's victory, Kenny. And congratulations, you got another one on here. And I know there was a lot of question marks, a lot of people doubting you. You doubted yourself. We doubted you. But what we never doubted was you had talent. If you put it together, you can do it. And no matter what you own, how you feel, if the circumstances are right, it's kind of like that Cialis commercial. When the time is right, you want to be ready to rock and roll. And the time was right this weekend, Indy. And Kenny had it rolling. So congratulations from here. It was good to see Kenny with the neck burn. All right, people, you know what time it is. My favorite time, your favorite time. I know it's going to be the German Chocolate's favorite time this week. Stews, I am confused. Who knows where he's going to go? But first, we'll be right back. What's up, guys? It's your boy, James Stewart. You see this shirt I got on? Now, I know we all a family. We all be coming out here. Everybody wants to be a part of Bubba's World. I want to be a part of it. But if you want to, make sure you click on this link because you can get this shirt. At least you can get this far. We got a bunch of things coming in the future, some exciting things. And I know you send in your videos. Maybe you can end up on the show that way. But if not, always make sure you get this pretty shirt, black and white, and some more coming soon. Click this link right here. Go get yours. All right, people, you know what time it is. My favorite time, your favorite time, Stewed and Stew. All right, you know where we're going with this. I've already 86. There's no more default wins, and this definitely ain't a default. And this has been a name that I haven't said since A1 last year. on there. And I don't even know if we had the neck burn chocolate thing going on, but we gonna have it for this dude on there. You know where I'm going, people. The German chocolate. He hasn't had a victory like this since he had a victory like this. Well, I don't know if he ever had a victory like this, but he's gonna get one today. Ken Roczen, you is Stu. And again, from here, hit it for him, Cole.
Suntan, next on fire.
Bam! 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 City went down. You always do the double bam. I don't even know why, but I guess it was for Kenny. Bam! Again, that's the triple one. Kenny, good job. Proud of you, son. You ain't my son, but we could be sons. And you're going to be black. You keep winning these things, but whatever. You and Stu.
That ain't it.
That wasn't it, was it? That wasn't it. So Kenny Roczen, you and Stu. Now, I will say this. The indie crowd, y'all was there. Y'all was full effect, so I'm going to get y'all a stew because every time we go to the East Coast, especially there, y'all be showing up, man. Y'all be showing the love, and maybe that's why Kenny was out doing this thing. So you got to give him the love. Justin Barsha, you wrote good. Cooper, you wrote good. Eli, hell, you wrote good. You was the eighth best, so hell, you wrote good. You beat, now I don't know how many people, my math is not off, but you beat a few other people. Chase Sexton, hey, look, you went down, and then you got up. And then you finish. That is Stu right there. I know you kind of woozy. I know if you didn't want to get back on that bike, but you got back on the bike. You knew what time it is. So anyways, all y'all Stu, I'm leaving this specifically only for the German chocolate and the indie crowd are my Stu's. Again, congratulations, Ken. See, I was trying to get the Stu this, but I mean, the track was tough. Everybody knew it was tough going on this. So I don't think they that pissed on there. And Chase, he might be pissed, but I don't even think he's pissed. He keep crashing on that. And I'm trying to figure out, it's just confused. I'm confused because I can't even say it right because I'm confused. Well, I'm confused because I ain't nobody going on this list. I said, Chase, I think he understands why he fell. Although it's still confusing that he keeps falling, but I don't think the crash was itself was confusing. So I'm not even going to go with that list. So nobody stewed or confused this list. See, that's why it's not even confusing. I'm making it confusing. Anyway, I did talk to Travis Estrada today. I know that's weird. It might be confusing why I just said that, but you'll see it soon enough. So anyways, people, no confused, no stew, but there is a stew with the German chocolate. And that was it for Indy round 9. Where I know this whole segment makes no sense at all. So it's definitely confusing, but I'll try my best next week to straighten it out so it ain't that. And Cody Shock did not hit a wall. Danger Boy, you still doing good. You looking good. And Jeremy Martin, where the hell did he come from? That was kind of confusing, but hell, it makes sense. That dude's a beast. But it was good to see him. I'll see you guys next week, people. Round 10. I don't even know where the hell they're going.
Detroit.
That's where they're going. And luckily, Cole saved me because that would have been confusing as well. But until then, I'll see you when I see you. And I'm about to walk off the set. And I always do that confusing thing. And I don't know. It's awkward. I don't know. But we're going to do it again. Confused. I think I'll just make my own way.